Would you say that you are lonely? And where would you put yourself on a loneliness scale? Lonely a lot? Lonely occasionally? Or just lonely once in a while? Because there's a wide range of ways to be lonely. There's isolated lonely, spending a lot of time alone. And there's around a lot of people lonely, where you don't have the meaningful connections you long for, even though you're not technically alone. Well, for the last couple of weeks on Discover the Word, we've been talking about loneliness and the pain and the struggle of alone that you may be feeling right now, and how actually the Scriptures in a lot of ways track loneliness through the ages. Well, today, one of the more familiar settings in the Bible in which we discover that even when you feel the ache of loneliness, you are not alone. And the Great Commission, familiar to many who study with us on Discover the Word, well, that is the passage we'll be looking at today, and how Jesus' promise to be with us always is an encouraging piece of this series of conversations about loneliness called You Are Not Alone. Around the table for conversation number 9 in this 10-part series are the four friends you share the table with most each day, Mark DeHaan, Elisa Morgan, Bill Crowder, and Daniel Ryan Day. And Elisa has been guiding us through this journey last week, mainly identifying and acknowledging the pain of alone and how it affects us. And then this week, focusing on passages of Scripture that remind us of God's provision that can help us navigate those times when we feel that we are alone in one of the many ways that emotion washes over us. So, as I said today, Elisa wants Mark and Bill and Daniel to turn to Matthew chapter 28 and the Great Commission that Jesus gave his followers. If you're able, you might want to turn to or bring up that familiar passage as well as you pull your chair up to the table with the group for today's Discover the Word.
What does this phrase mean, the ends of the earth? What does that mean?
Well, when I was teaching in Moscow, the first day of class, all the students introduced themselves and told where they were from. And the last guy to go was this great big guy. He looked like he was about 6'4 and weighed 300 pounds. Just a great big Russian bear of a guy. And he stood up and said in Russian, "Of all the missionaries, only I am faithful to the Great Commission." Mm. And everybody kind of looked at him like, "What in the world?" And he said, "I am pastoring a church in a little village north of the Arctic Circle, and the name of the village is The Ends of the Earth."
Okay, that's because the Great Commission says, "I'm with you always until the ends of the earth." Yeah.
It's almost like as far as the east is from the west, right? I mean, it's just beyond. Mm-hmm.
But we just said to the ends of the earth. Didn't Jesus say to the ends of the age?
I think maybe it depends on your translation, but I have it as the age and also have it as the earth. So
some say the world, you know, the end of the world.
The end of the world. Yeah. But I think that's a really good perspective, Daniel, because when we say the ends of the earth, we become more literal and geographic. But the ends of the age or the ends of the world, what does that imply?
When time stops and something else starts.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it could be even times within time. Because there's been ages past that came to an end, and then a new age dawned.
I'm with you always, now until the end of the age, now until the end of the earth, now until the end of time, now until the end of the world. It's a kind of a, I'm with you however long it takes. What are we doing? Well, I want to look at one more way that God is present with us, provides for us, sends helpers to us in our aloneness as we're looking at You Are Not Alone. And today we're going to look at, kind of interesting, I'm with you always till the end of the age. Really what he's done, it's been surprising to me, is he's giving us purpose. And in our aloneness, in the pain of alone, one way God ministers to us is through the element of purpose. So think about it this way. How does having a purpose minister to you in the pain of alone?
How does it or does it?
Yeah, well, maybe it does it for you, Mark. Daniel.
Well, I guess where I'm stuck is how do we get to Jesus offers a purpose first before we can talk about what the purpose is? Mm-hmm. And we're saying that Jesus gives us a purpose so that that helps us with our aloneness. But how do we know that he gives us a purpose first?
I'm drawing this out of Matthew chapter 28, and this is the passage that's called the Great Commission. Let's read it. This is after the resurrection, before the ascension. We're not told just when, but we know it's in Galilee. He has told them earlier that he would return. They should meet him in Galilee. Some commentators think the mountain that he's standing on was the same one he gave the Sermon on the Mount from. But he told them to meet in Galilee, and so here they are. So let's pick this up. This is the 11. Judas, of course, is gone. He's committed suicide. He's killed himself. And the 11 are left. So can we just go around and read verses 16 to 20?
Sure, I'll start. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted.
And Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Okay. I'm hearing purpose in that. I don't know if you have caught it yet, but what's interesting, look at verses 16 and 17, especially verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Why is that significant? I wonder why Matthew includes that little piece.
Well, my first reaction is, of course they did. When else have you seen someone go through that kind of torture, suffering, and death, and then see them show back up in your life?
That's really good.
A side piece to that, and not nearly as significant as that, but there are a lot of scholars who question the credibility or the legitimacy of the scriptures, and those who defend the scriptures make the argument, this is something that shows that the scriptures are genuine, because if they were faking something, they wouldn't include it in here that they were doubting.
Right.
I like that.
It's the dissimilarity. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a really interesting point.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've been looking at the various facets of loneliness. We looked at relational and physical and vocational and emotional loneliness. What kind of loneliness would these guys begin to experience very quickly when Jesus is ascended and leaves them?
What do we do now?
Because we know they didn't really believe that he was going, because they stay there waiting for him to come right back down. It takes angels showing up and saying, hey, he's not coming back.
Why are you standing there? Yeah, that's in Acts 1.
Yeah.
The reality is that when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. That's almost like a, you know what it's like to be in a room and be one of the ones who doesn't believe? That's a lonely spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that loneliness, I'm just going to suggest, would increase as Jesus left them. And as they began to understand, when is the Holy Spirit, the helper coming, the advocate, the paraclete we talked about in a prior discussion.
Okay,
when
so
is
you're,
that one
you're thinking the loneliness is most acutely felt probably in those who are doubting,
I
right?
Think maybe.
Because they're on the outside, the others are worried, they get it, they believed it. But you're having a hard time believing your own eyes. What's wrong with me? I can't believe what they're worshiping.
I wonder,
is that the idea?
Mark, yeah, I wonder about that. And I think back to other passages, where, you know, like in John 6, where many doubted and left him, or when Peter denied Christ and doubted, and the loneliness of that mistake and Jesus turning to look at him. You know, these doubting moments, it's almost as if we all have a moment of doubt that we need to navigate and learn what to do with. You know, it's like we were talking about, if you have a cancer diagnosis or if you have an accident and break your leg, it's your body experiencing that. And somebody can come and care for you and love on you, but you're alone in that physical need. Well, similarly, in our spiritual, maybe it's a spiritual loneliness, you know, Mark. In our spiritual moments of doubt, we can be incredibly lonely.
But it sounds like you're emphasizing, too, a group dynamic.
Could be.
Something that because of the group that you value, you feel like you're kind of on the outside. What's wrong with me?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think there's the internal struggle of why don't I believe, and the external struggle of I feel excluded from this other group that does believe. I think there's a combination of factors that work on you at that moment.
Yeah.
Jesus goes on then, this I am with you. And actually this verse 19 is pretty much the first mention of what we have come to know as the Trinity, the name, one name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you know, the unity of the three. Fascinating there. Mm-hmm. And this is a little bit complicated, but stay with it long enough to think, okay, Jesus is saying, I'm with two others. We are three. We are not alone. And there is a way in which he's modeling for the disciples who are doubting and in their aloneness that they too will not be alone, that they too will be coming together. And then he crescendos it with the last verse. And Daniel, read that again. Verse 20.
So he's making disciples by baptizing and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
And the purpose comes in the commission.
See, yeah, you can't really separate those two, though, can you? The purpose from his presence. And apparently the promise was that somehow the Holy Spirit's going to make Father, Son, and Spirit known, right?
Yeah.
To them. Yeah.
If we reviewed what we've said are the elements that God is revealing in our aloneness, it's absolutely his presence. We looked at that many times. It's the provision of himself. And it's further another provision of himself in the paraclete, the helper. And now he's underlining, I'm going to be with you in accomplishing a purpose that's tied to me, and I'll be with you for as long as it takes. So when you slip into the loneliness of doubts, when you slip into the loneliness of wondering, what am I up to? How can I be present with you? How can I use you? Where have I gone? Remember the purpose to which I've called you, that I promised to be with you through for as long as it takes.
And where I really see that is the word surely, which some translations translate as behold. In other words, hey, I know you just heard a lot. Pay attention to this part. Behold, surely, I'm with you always.
Behold, that's so good, Daniel. So God has revealed his presence and the provision of himself. He's revealed the helper who will be with us. And he's given a purpose that we can cling to when we're filled with doubts. And the purpose is really being about his work, being witnesses of his love on this planet. So when we stumble into the loneliness of doubt, maybe he's wooing us forward to trust his purpose and how he'll be with us to accomplish it, however long it takes.
Yeah, you're listening to Discover the Word with your regular study partners, Mark DeHaan, Alisa Morgan, Bill Crowder, and Daniel Ryan Day. And this is week two of our series titled, You Are Not Alone. And today we looked at the fourth of five provisions God gives us to combat loneliness, his presence, his provision, the helper, his Holy Spirit, and now today his purpose, as we find it in the Great Commission. And if you ever miss a discussion around the table here at Discover the Word during this series or any of our series, remember you can always find these conversations online on our website at discovertheword.org. And you can also subscribe to Discover the Word on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Just follow or subscribe to Discover the Word to have these daily conversations automatically sent to your phone each day via your favorite podcasting app. Well, I think I speak for the entire Discover the Word team when I say that every time we gather together around the table, we are so grateful for our faithful listeners. Know that we pray for you and the impact these conversations may have on you. And we are just so grateful to know that so many people are committed to studying the Scriptures with us. And grateful for those who are able to offer their financial support to help make these discussions happen. Our mission here at Discover the Word and all we do at Our Daily Bread Ministries is to make the life-changing wisdom of the Bible understandable and accessible to people all around the world. And so when you give to support this ministry, you're playing an essential role in accomplishing that mission. You can make a donation when you go online to our website at discovertheword.org. Click the donate button, and then we'll walk you through all your options there at discovertheword.org. Right, well, I'm Brian Hedinga, and you know the Bible is full of stories about promises that God has made, promises that God has kept. Now tomorrow, Mart, Elisa, Bill, and Daniel will be looking at an encouraging promise from God that applies to loneliness. It's the conclusion of our series, You Are Not Alone, and you won't want to miss it. So join us Friday right here for Discover the Word. Discover the Word is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.